American corn, wheat, and soybean fields feed much of the world and also provide the material from which alcohol fuels like ethanol are produced. Ethanol has benefited the U.S. heartland by giving farmers more stable prices for their grains and creating jobs at rural refineries, some of which are owned and operated by local farmers. Federal law requires the use of ethanol in gasoline, usually at around 10%, but some flex fuel vehicles can also use an 85% mix. But critics say congressional mandates to use ethanol are ill-conceived. They note that corn-derived ethanol generates less than 2 units of energy for every unit used to produce it. Even ethanol promoters agree that the future lies in using more non-food material, like corn stalks, to produce what is called cellulosic fuel. Brian Jennings represents the American Coalition for Ethanol.
I believe the first cellulosic biofuel that's commercialized will probably come from some sort of agricultural residue, meaning it will grow on a farm and a farmer will be selling it to a biorefinery. We strongly embrace cellulosic ethanol alongside corn ethanol. The fact of the matter is we need both.
One of the most promising replacements for corn in producing ethanol is sorghum, a grass that can produce grain used in some foods and in animal fodder. Bill Rooney, who runs the sorghum project for Texas A&M University, says sorghum-derived fuel could start having an impact on the market within 5 years.
If we're talking about a sugar platform, one that's very similar to sugarcane, we can use sweet sorghums to do that in the very near future. The technology already exists. We just adapt sugarcane technology and use sweet sorghum in its place. If we're talking about cellulosic, the whole plant and all the fiber, then we're looking at systems that are a little bit longer out.
This is just one of the areas of research at Texas A&M that could provide biofuels for transportation. Fossil fuels like oil and coal originated from ancient plant material compressed and heated over millions of years, but scientists and laboratories here can produce fuels directly from harvested plant material. Mark Hussey, who oversees agriculture programs at Texas A&M, says a lot of research is directed at getting gasoline-like fuel directly from plant material.
We're producing a product that is identical to the product that would be produced from a barrel of oil, but producing it strictly from plants.
One of the most promising areas of research is algae, which is grown in ponds rather than fields. David Balzenberger heads the Texas A&M Department of Soil and Crop Sciences.
Algae produces about 60% oil on a dry weight basis. 60% of the plant of the material is oil. With soybeans, it's about 17 or 18% oil.
He says using algae for fuel also helps reduce greenhouse gases because they can be used with the algae to create energy.
We can pump excess CO2 from manufacturing processes or whatever, into the ponds, and the algae converts it because it needs it for photosynthesizing.
The new biofuels could be running many automobiles in a few years, but Mark Hussey cautions that they are unlikely to replace oil as the main transportation fuel. What they will do, he says, is help offset the rapid growth in energy demand.
Hopefully, if we can take care of this increased growth in demand that we've got for energy, both here in this country and globally with bio-based fuels, will go a long way to solving the energy issues.
Hussey says development of biofuels should not offset agricultural enterprises that produce food, feed, and fiber. But he says much of the biofuel production can be done on marginal lands so as to avoid a food versus fuel competition over land resources. Greg Flakus, VOA News, College Station, Texas.